Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 15th of June, recording at 9:40 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. And my goodness, what an exciting 2 weeks it's been, but I'll only comment in the review on the last week. So, global stock markets. On Wednesday, they turned on the metaphorical dime and raced higher. And that continued today. Stock markets strong right across the boards. In long-dated government bonds, they have lost downside momentum. We had a little upward progress today in the U.S. Treasuries. They are overstretched and near some prior support levels, albeit within their bear market trends. And the dollar yesterday, I mentioned that, well, that was the upward momentum was slowing, might be near the end, and today we had, it would be an exaggeration to call it a downward dynamic, but certainly it showed the first real sign of weakness, and it is overextended and overbought. And precious, now the dollar, I should have said in the review of the week, the dollar had run up, but before losing some momentum yesterday and looking pretty tired in here today. Now, precious metals had dipped. And, well, they've actually been losing downward momentum over the last week and firmed on the last couple of days. So up again a little bit here today, except for platinum, which is down a dollar, very, very quiet. And the industrial metals, they weakened but then rallied with stock markets, and they were all up in here today. And soft commodities have been on a bit of a tear, led by the grain and bean complex and cotton. A very, very strong action there. Crude oil, very firm, closing out their trading right now at 63.08 on the NYMEX, and the Brent must be around 71. And the products have been firm as well. So you could say, really, in the last few days, in the last 3 days, that commodities and stock markets have moved higher, and government bonds have not moved lower in terms of prices. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as reactions go, what we've seen so far was fairly small. It did interrupt an extremely orderly little staircase upward trend that we were seeing in stock markets. I'm talking about the correction that, or the reaction rather, that commenced last week and that ended earlier this week. Now, the technical action certainly reaffirms that the bull is alive, albeit somewhat long in the tooth. But I've said before that bull markets don't die of old age, they are assassinated. Now, the assassin is well known and has been probing around a little bit with a knife, to use a little bit of hyperbole, and the assassin is in the form of rising interest rates, the short-term rates, and particularly it was the bond market slump that frightened people. I did an interview as a relevant digression here with the BBC this afternoon, and asking me about the long-dated government bonds, but I said really the amazing thing was that it had taken so long for bonds to actually weaken sharply. And, I mean, really, you look at the charts and you can see that the bull market ended back in June of 2003. I'm talking about the bull market and bond prices. So, correspondingly, yields bottomed in June of 2003. That shows up so clearly on the long-term charts, which I've posted on a number of occasions. But people were in denial over this. They were in denial because the government bond bull market had run for at least 18 years. They were in denial because they had big losses, so that people extrapolate the trend that they're in, and they have an interest in doing so as they're still long, so they don't want it to end. And they were in denial because of all that debate about were we going to get a serious deflation that we were getting really from the time the dot-com bubble peaked up until fairly recently, although we heard it most strongly in the first few years of this decade. And then they felt that bond yields would always stay low because the Japanese and Chinese governments were going to keep buying them, or if it wasn't those governments, then it would be the baby boomers. Well, I'm old enough, I'm actually a pre-baby boomer. I'm a little older than the baby boomers, but I can't think for a reason in the world why I'd want to buy those long-dated government bonds on those Mickey Mouse yields. So they were pretty much in denial, and then also people ignoring the Bernanke helicopter comments, ignoring for years the huge money supply figures that we were seeing, ignoring for years the huge sales of long-dated government bonds that were taking place, ignoring for years the synchronized global economic recovery that was occurring. So really, and presumably ignoring the charts. So suddenly the penny dropped, and we had attribute it to a fear of inflation, a fear of growth, but at any rate, bonds fell and yields popped upwards really quite sharply. Now, if we get an end to the bull market in the next couple of years, let alone a premature end. And I'm not forecasting a premature end, but if we do, as I say, the assassin will be interest rates. And it'll be because governments overreact in terms of pushing short-term interest rates higher, and the bond market hits the skids once again. The little probing with a knife by the assassin that I mentioned is not enough. Really, to cause more than temporary discomfort to a bull market that still has a momentum of its own. And just well, the one point that concerns me, it's not the bond markets at the moment because they're oversold and overextended on the downside, that's bond prices, so I expect them to bounce a little bit. What does concern me a little bit is that a lot of these stock market indices are still fairly overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts. Now, they're less overextended than they were a fortnight ago, because most of them are back, although most of them are back at the same levels. The 2 weeks allowed them to move laterally a little closer to those rising moving averages. But bottom line, a lot of them are still overextended. So the type of reaction that we just saw is something that we probably need to get used to. It could happen very easily, and the strength of these commodity markets could easily trigger that. We are within 1 or 2 days, I should say, rally of getting the NYMEX crude up above $70. That will cause a few people to blink once again as well. So I think we're in an environment where we need to expect a little more rock and roll here overall. But again, this is still the third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle. It's performing accordingly. There are good gains to be had still, in all probability. Now, related to that, I put up a chart of the U.S., I beg your pardon, the Dow Jones World Stock Index. Now, use that as a benchmark, any stock market index that has pushed back up to a new high ahead of that Dow Jones World Stock Index, which has yet to hit a new high, but it is within striking distance now of its high, another day like today, and it would touch a new high. But the indices that have moved up ahead of that, and well, there are some of the Asian ones, that some of those developed country Asian ones, South Korea is still running, Taiwan, that's one that I bought early this morning, and some of the European indices are through yet, but my point is that anything that has hit a new rally high here ahead of that Dow Jones World Stock Index is very much in form and likely to provide some pretty good gains additionally. So, as I say, expect a bit more rock and roll in terms of volatility. But as far as the last reaction is concerned, it would have to take out this week's or last week's lows, whichever are lower, to indicate a deeper reaction, let alone a stock market correction. So quite a dramatic couple of weeks, as I said at the beginning. Long-dated government bonds have already said they're in a bear market. I've already said that they are overextended in the short term, and therefore I wouldn't be surprised to see them range around, maybe get a little bit more short covering to produce a bit of a technical rally, but I certainly wouldn't buy them for that technical rally. Whenever they do get technical rallies, and they've gotten plenty of them over the last few years, but when those technical rallies tire, they offer shorting opportunities. I am only interested in shorting long-dated government bonds after rallies. Unfortunately, I haven't done it as much as I had meant to and should have done, but I've mentioned that is a tactic, and I think that action has supported that tactical approach. The next time to buy government bonds will be when we get a significant economic downturn. It'll happen at some stage, but I mentioned this before, but I find it hard to envisage a recession before, well, 2009-2010 at the earliest, and that's not a forecast that we will get a recession at that point. We're more likely to get the next bear market before we get a recession, and I continue to say that with a little luck, meaning commodities don't go too ballistic and bonds don't take too much fright, with a little luck of that sort, then we might just postpone the next bear market in global stock markets until the 2009-2010 period at the earliest. Okay, in terms of currencies, we have two weak currencies, of which one has been far weaker than the other recently. The really weak one has been the Japanese yen, and you had Fukui, the Bank of Japan governor, saying today that he didn't know when the next rate hike was going to be. So all the people who've been forecasting another Japanese rate hike have to keep rolling that date forward, and now they're talking about August. We'll see. I think there's no reason why Japan's going to be in any hurry, so people who are looking for rate hikes will probably be disappointed more often than not in terms of what actually happens in Japan. Now, that's weakened the yen further. That's good for Japanese exporters, which will be inform stock market participants. The overall Japanese stock market's been a wallflower for quite a few months, but that pattern is gradually improving, as you know, and provided the overall global stock market outlook remains reasonably okay. We could get a run at some point there, but really, it's among the developed country Asian stock markets. Remember, I mentioned late last year and the beginning of this year that I thought we'd get some reasonably good performances, better relative performances from the developed country stock markets. And if we didn't get better relative performance, they'd certainly be safer. Well, safety hasn't really been that much of an issue in here, or not an issue at all. South Korea has been the stellar performer among the developed country stock markets, but it does look to me as if we're beginning a better performance here by Taiwan. I think that's very clearly indicated on the charts. And Japan, well, and I've just said it could easily follow at some point relatively soon. The outlook again, India and China. I've been pleasantly surprised by the performance of China this year, and China's a little overextended in the short term. We can maybe get a little bit of consolidation there. The finance minister and ministry, really, in China are really quite actively micromanaging those that A-share index right now, and they'll probably continue to do that in an effort to keep it in a range, or to keep the upward trend relatively well, to make ensure that it moves at a slower pace overall. So that means that some of the other China plays might actually do a little better, having ranged for so long. That includes Taiwan, which is already doing better, and that might well include Hong Kong, which has been in a long range, as has the Chinese the H share index out of Hong Kong. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do better in here. India is one that I did expect to have a long pause in here, and that continues, but it's on the higher side of its range overall, so it wouldn't be surprising to see a sustained upward break during the second half of the year. I think that's really quite likely. And European stock markets, again, still in these overall upward trends. Biggest problem, such as it is overextension relative to the MAs. Ditto, Wall Street. Okay. I was talking about currencies, wasn't I? I'm sorry, I digressed a little bit in going back to those stock markets. So move on to the currencies. The dollar. My hunch is that the dollar rally is going to play out. Now, what helped to create the dollar rally? Well, it had had a good move on the downside, become temporarily oversold. It ranged for a while, and then we had a fading of the forecasts in favor of a US rate cut as the economic data improved slightly. And then people did a flip-flop and said, no, the US is going to raise rates later this year. We've been over this ground before, of course, in terms of sentiment. And so, hey presto, people, Forex traders covered their dollar shorts and went long. And if you were watching any of the television this morning on the financial channels, or when over the last couple of days, and everybody's been talking about those CPI figures that were coming out today, you know, the statistic du jour, and the pretty well the consensus and every commenter on currencies that I saw was saying that the dollar would continue upwards. Well, that certainly tells you that they were long, and as you know, the dollar rally saw a setback in here today, and I wouldn't be at all surprised. I suspect that is the high. I suspect we saw the high yesterday. So I think that the dollar is going to remain a weak currency, and that it will move back down. As for US interest, but not against the yen, move back down against the euro. We see the euro rally. We'll see sterling rally back up to the $2 level, and probably through it. One of the currencies that could do best of all in the short term here would be the Singapore dollar, which I think is quite attractive. I do like the Asian currencies on a long-term basis. The commodity currencies are, of course, really quite strong. A number of these commodity-producing governments or their central banks are complaining about that and actually intervening in the case of New Zealand. But as I said at the time we had that intervention, they're going to have a tough time with an 8% interest rate. That's really saying buy me, buy me, buy me to all the people who are looking for a bit of yield here, a bit of forex yield. And therefore, intervention will only deter the speculators and the currency investors temporarily. Okay, moving on to the industrial metals. They have the surprise that shouldn't be a surprise, given all that infrastructure demand that's taking place, and it's not just China, it's around the globe, as you know. But the surprise that shouldn't be a surprise is that metal prices are holding so firm. The biggest weakness that we've seen recently, very predictable, was in nickel, which had become quite well, it had such a, I was going to say, become quite overextended. It was a fairly orderly move upwards, but it ran into a bit of a psychological brick wall up at that $50,000 level on the LME, and then everybody and his mother was finding nickel ingots to deliver to the LME to take advantage of that huge backwardation. And the backwardation was so large, I think it was at least $4,000. That's over 3 months. So that really made sense to scramble around and find nickel anywhere you could, postpone any consumption if you're a user of nickel, and deliver it to the LME. And in other words, just sell the physical, sell the physical metal and buy the 3 months future. And I think that's what's taken place. Nickel has bounced in the last couple of days, as I mentioned, but most of these metal prices remain rock steady in here. And the doubting Thomases, in terms of people looking at the mining shares, have been capitulating, as you've been seeing, and the performance has been red hot in those industrial mining shares. Well, I expect the demand for these metals to remain strong, really for years and years and years, and that's mainly due to the of course, the infrastructure demand that I've just mentioned. And it will take a global recession to really knock these metals way back down. Yes, supply will increase, but demand will also increase. Oil, same sort of story, only it's a less spectacular version. But oil's breaking out on the charts once again, and it's in a long-term secular bull market. And precious metals, well, the crowd is fairly disillusioned with them, fairly tepid performance in here against the background of that beg your pardon, I should say weaker dollar. So tepid performance by the precious metals against today's evidence of a weaker dollar, but the metals have lost downward momentum. I expect these precious metals to move higher next week, and I've positioned myself for that in the last couple of days. And soft commodities, well, they've got a bit of momentum behind them right now, and arguably some of them are still quite cheap. Well, that's it, folks. I think you'll probably want to rest over the weekend. I certainly do. Do something interesting. I've got another opera coming up, and family time. It's Father's Day on Sunday, so Lots of events. I wish you good weather and a good relaxing weekend. All the best.